I was so dumb, but I hopped on a plane, almost drove right back to the 541.
So we were just saying before I turned us on, baby.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. King is sick. King playing hurt. So we're going to get through this. We're going to set a timer. We're going to make sure.
We don't really need to do that, but just let it be known.
You don't have the energy for the umpire tonight.
No.
Maybe that's where you got the flu from, is that fucking mask, man.
It's possible.
Yeah. So King playing hurt. Welcome to the podcast, everybody. I'm Alex at TSB Pod. He is King at Jeromny. He is Ski at TSB Ski. Tweet at one of those handles or something if you want to. Also in Discord, join our Discord at the Sports Brewery in that. We can send you an invitation if you need it. We are recording live right now on Twitch, twitch.tv/abrog87. If you want to watch those, we do those every Thursday night at 7:30, 7:45-ish. If you miss those, I post the streams on YouTube. Just search for Sports Brewery on YouTube. Movie this Sunday is Indiana Jones 5, The Dial of Destiny.
Pick a Destiny?
Yeah, not Pick a Destiny. No. Dave Grohl is the devil in this one. It is on Disney Plus, so you can watch it, listen to us talk about it. All that good stuff. So did anything happen last weekend? Do we have anything to talk about? I don't know, you guys. Who's going to play in the Super Bowl? Do we know? Do we know who's going to play in the Super Bowl?
For my team, the playoffs don't start until February. So for me, it's basically wild card weekend.
Yeah, this is last week was like week two for you, right?
Yeah, it's week zero.
Yeah, the 0 week leading into
Okay. It was San Jose State Toledo week, basically.
Nothing matters until next weekend, pretty much. Yeah. No, man, I hear you. And for my team, this is as far as they've gotten, or last week was as far as they've gotten, with the exception of when they last played your team, which, you know, that was kind of a bummer. But, I hadn't really thought about that game in a while, and I forgot how the fourth quarter went, because the Niners had a really solid lead, and you guys won the game in a matter of, like, 6 or 7 minutes of game time. It was fucking ridiculous. And then just like ran away with it. It wasn't even close. So
well, the Niners were up, what, two scores?
At least. I think it was 21-10 with like 7 minutes left.
Yeah. 7 minutes left in the game. Yeah. In the game. And Kansas City not only won, but they won like going away. It was crazy. Yeah. Only a Jimmy G led offense could suddenly just shit the bed like that so much. And
I did see Jed York crying about that game today. Bosa got held. Shut the fuck up, Jed.
And the offensive PI and Kittle, but I digress.
Yeah, well, you know, don't give up 21 points in 4 minutes. How about that, Jed York?
There is that. Yep.
That is funny you bring up you haven't seen a collapse like that since Jimmy G when you watched that happen on Sunday with Jared Goff and the Lions.
Boy, you know, like, as much as I want to give the 49ers credit, and, you know, they deserve a lot of it. Like, Purdy had a fantastic second half. Like, Christian McCaffrey, if you didn't know he's a beast, watch highlights of him against the Lions. He is a beast. But fucking A, Dan Campbell. Like, you know, we've seen the fourth down things. We've seen, you know, we saw it this year with Lanning against Washington. It's like, yeah, you know, it's cool that that's your MO. You know, like, I appreciate that. You got to, like, stick to your guns, you know. Okay, all right. But when you're in a tie game and you can kick a field goal, or you're down by three and you can kick a field goal, kick the fucking field goal. You know, like,
well, he kicked it before the end of the half, which is interesting to not kick it later. But I mean, we just recently saw a coach get fired in for the Chargers that pretty much had the same philosophy on going for and fourth. You think time and place, there's always a time and a place to go for on fourth. Yeah. Cutting the lead to a touchdown by kicking a field goal might be the time and place to take the field goal. Yeah. Just a thought.
Yeah, but you know, there is that argument where, you know, because we've done this before too, where we see a guy go for three in that situation. We're like, you coward. Like, you only need a couple of yards. Just go for it. You can get it with your offense, whatever. But I think conventional wisdom sort of needs to win out in both of those scenarios. Well, both of the times they went for fourth against the 49ers, it just didn't make sense, man. And it gave the 49ers momentum. Like, the 49ers had no momentum until they made that first stop on fourth down. It changed the game.
Were you fully in the fetal position at halftime, or were you only like maybe half fetal position?
I'm literally like, this game's over. Like, the Niners didn't they're done. Like, they can't stop the run. Their offense isn't doing anything, and this game's over. And then suddenly it wasn't. And it was a matter, you know, like the Chiefs did to the 49ers in that Super Bowl, it was a matter of like 4 minutes. You know, like, the Niners scored. They got the fourth down stop. They scored the fumble. They scored again, and then another fourth down stop. And it's like, well, thanks, Dan Campbell. Appreciate you, man. Like, Niners had no business winning that game.
I mean, for you as a Niner fan, I mean, I guess maybe that Ravens game this year, but that first half was the biggest probably ass kicking you've seen the Niners get in years.
First quarter.
I mean, that was a
yeah.
That was a clinic in that first half by the Lions.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the defense at times for San Francisco, as much as they get talked about, I think the reason they get talked about this year is because of previous years. Like, the defense hasn't been super great this year, and they are not great against the run. And so, you know, nice Pacheco, I'm a little bit afraid of, just because, you know, he's going to be able to get loose against the Niners defense a few times, but against the Lions, like, it was Swiss cheese, man. Like, whatever they wanted to do was working.
I saw someone make a good point that the previous Super Bowl against you guys, you know, high powered Kansas City offense, stout Kansas City defense, run game. All of a sudden this one, it's, you know, higher powered offense Niners, mm-hmm. you know, impregnable defense Kansas City this year. It's amazing what a couple years can do. A
couple years and Kansas City not having any wide receivers will do.
Yes.
Yeah. No, the Niners offense is absolutely stacked. And I'm, again, this is why I talked about it a few weeks ago. This is the matchup I wanted. Like our fandom aside, I really wanted to see San Francisco and Kansas City because it's the best offense against the best defense. And there's a lot of really good players on both sides of the football. And by the way, now that Travis Kelce's not washed anymore,
He's going to have Kelce is going to have 20 catches against the Niners playing that zone. Yeah. Yes. Because King Bondi, you're a Chiefs here. What a like precision, methodical, just decimation of a defense Mahomes did against the Ravens there. Just
the first half against Baltimore was like the second half against Philly last year in the Super Bowl.
Clinical.
Where people, like, to this day, people are like, Patrick Mahomes was so outplayed by Hurts in the Super Bowl. Okay, I mean, if you look at the stats, sure. But when you watch the game, in the second half, the ball never hit the turf.
Mm-mm.
And that's what they did in the first half. And so when they went into half 17-7, I was like, just run the ball. Like, just I think it was their second to last drive. Like, I mean, they punted like five straight possessions. So they weren't good. But they had one drive that was just the second to last drive was just that was a bad drive. But other than that, the first half was just precision. Just surgical cuts. The ball never hit the ground. It was just every play was a positive play. Just bang, bang, bang.
It is wild what happens when your receivers don't drop passes.
Well, and then just like the stupid play like on that third down where Mahomes scrambles and does like a sky hook and Kelce comes back from out of nowhere, dives and catches it. It's only like a 7-yard gain, but it extended the drive and literally there's no other tandem that does that consistently. Like, we saw Tom Brady in that Edelman catch, you know, in the Super Bowl. Teams and players have done that. But for whatever reason, Mahomes and Kelce can do that thing consistently. And it makes no sense. It kind of defies just – you can't account for that in the film room. You can study all week, put together a great game plan, but Mahomes just has those two or three plays, and they don't even have to be big shot plays that just suck the life out of a defense.
Well, and then back to the Niners in the second half, that's what Purdy did. He finally started using his legs, and he got those important yards when he needed those yards with his legs.
The shit Lamar wasn't doing, by the way.
That's exactly. Like, they bottled him up. I mean, yeah, real good defense by the Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, so you know, Purdy's not doing that against Kansas City next week.
I think he's gonna have to at least be more mobile in the pocket. Well, doesn't have to maybe get the yards, but he's gonna have to get escape pressure more.
So a couple things changed them offensively in the second half. It was Purdy running, like certainly that those were humongous plays, like third downs too, man. They're just massive. But they got Debo involved too, like. On that first drive coming out of the second half, like they only got a field goal out of it, but they got Debo two catches right away, and it seemed to open everything up. And so again, you know, we talked about it, like when Debo was hurt, like the Niners suck when Debo's not on the field. And for whatever reason, even if he's not getting the ball all the time, he just changes their offense. If they get him a couple of touches, it changes how the defense approaches them. And so, you know, it opened up those running lanes for Purdy. It opened up Jawan Jennings and, you know, Kittle on like a couple of catches, but you know what I mean? It just sort of opens everything up for them. And by the way,
I mean,
WCP mentions that the, what did he say? If the ball gets swatted away, shit might be different. And so he's talking about the Ayuk catch where it bounced off dude's face. So yes, change the momentum. Again, that's one of those momentum plays that was just huge for San Francisco that they might not win if it doesn't happen, but...
Was that a third down, or was that
he got called for PI, too. So, you know, it's...
Yeah,
even
that's
if
true.
Ayuk doesn't catch it and go inside the five, it's still a 15-yard penalty, and they're at, like, the 15 or something like that. So, you know, they're probably going to score anyways. I'm just saying, like, a lot of people made a lot of that play, and it was an amazing play, but also, it's not like... If he picks it, like he probably should have, like it's Detroit's ball because he got called for PI. So just putting that out there, because that was talked about a lot by Purdy haters.
we'll bring it up to you how, you know, a lot of people were, me included, were knocking Purdy last week for his terrible, you know, performance. I haven't seen nearly enough people come out and talk about how bad Lamar was. Yeah. I mean, that was for the supposed MVP of the league. I think he had one completion to a wide receiver into the second half. There's a reason that he was like, oh, this is locked up at halftime. That was a complete dismantling of a quote unquote high powered offense.
See, in this, is what I've been saying. It's like, why does it make sense for you to go after Purdy? Like, why make a point to go after Purdy and not go after Lamar or not go after other quarterbacks when they have bad games?
Because like we've said before, you have David Lombardi being like, he's Joe Montana, Tom Rathman. I mean, come on. Have you read his stuff on The Athletic?
No, dude.
It is atrocious.
I agree he's ridiculous, but is that why everybody hates Purdy after he has like a rough game and they don't go after anybody else? Like Josh Allen has a bad game. They don't say Josh Allen is a trash quarterback. You know, he's the worst.
Josh Allen gets a lot of heat.
Fucking overrated, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's like, and I guess Lamar has an NFL MVP under his belt, so that probably helps.
So I've been sick all week, haven't gone to work, blah, blah, blah. So I watched a segment on Undisputed. Do you know what Undisputed is?
Skip Bayless.
Unk.
Nope, he's not.
Oh, he's off now?
Yeah, he's been gone for a while. So Skip Bayless, Richard Sherman, and Keyshawn Johnson. So they're talking about the Super Bowl matchup of quarterback, okay? Keyshawn Johnson. You want to know what he says Patrick Mahomes reminds him of? Brad Johnson. Trent Dilfer. You want to know who Richard Sherman would rather have right now?
Brock Purdy for sure.
Brock Purdy.
Yeah. No, Richard.
You want to know what Skip Bayless said? You want to know what Skip Bayless said?
Dak Prescott?
No, no, no. He said, well, Burrow's still the best quarterback in the NFL. But I'm starting to come around on Mahomes. That's the exact quote. I'm starting to come around on Mahomes.
That young up-and-comer Patrick Mahomes.
Quarterback chatter is pretty wild.
That's it.
Like, and the thing about Lamar is, and not to be fair, because we need to be fair, but I feel like a lot of people don't criticize him as much as they should, because you're almost opening the door to the bad faith actors who are like, look at his hair, look at his skin, you know, black quarterback can't pro. So I kind of feel like on that, because that one, it's a little tricky. Because, I mean, even like the discourse leading up to the game was that the streets are all about Lamar Jackson. What the fuck does that mean? The streets.
Honestly.
Like, when people, like, as the week went on and they were like, oh, the street vibes are with Lamar. I'm like, that doesn't mean, what? How are you on a platform like ESPN? You're not a Twitter person. You're not some rando on TikTok. You're on NFL Live and you're talking about how the streets are behind Lamar Jackson. What does that mean?
I thought
the dead end road, apparently.
The narrative.
It's like one of those Acme roads where it looks like you're going somewhere and then you just drive off a cliff, apparently.
Roadrunner. Yep.
Yeah, good on the streets though. Meep meep.
Wile E. Coyote, meep meep. Yeah. The narrative about Mahomes having a dad bod this week has been fun. It's like what are we doing? You're right. No, you're absolutely right. Whenever people talk about quarterbacks, it's just fucking absurd. Like,
yeah, it's bad. It's generally bad. And like I was saying last week, Mina Kimes, very respected, saying the Ravens are one of the best teams ever. Like, that is just insane. That's insane stuff. Like, and I know we have these numbers we can pick and choose, and I don't want to be Mad Dog Russo and call these people dorks and data nerds and statisticians and go to MIT instead, but I don't see how you could have watched the Ravens all year and be like, top three team of all time?
She watched one game on Christmas night against San Francisco, yeah. And that was it.
It was that, and then like 2 weeks later, they decimated the Dolphins.
Yeah.
And listen, if the NFL season started in June, the Dolphins may win the whole thing.
Oh,
because if you go to Miami in October, they're getting home field. It's a fast track. They ain't built the Dolphins. Hill, Waddle, Tua, they ain't built for the playoffs. It's just it's too cold. It's they're not a thing. So it was those two games really. Oh, and they beat Geno and the Seahawks by 30.
Yeah, Geno. But see, when you go back to, you know, not Lamar not getting enough, you know, heat for his performance there. I remember Geno just getting fucking decimated before he went to Seattle, and some this year to an extent, but not a lot. But that was in a championship game. I don't know if I've seen a worse performance. I mean, it's all around. He couldn't hit a receiver.
Well, and the thing is the Chiefs DBs, they are bullies.
Yeah.
Like Snead is the handsiest guy I've seen in a long. I'm not saying he's the best corner, but he is handsy as hell. And McDuffie is always just trying to punch someone in the ribs and knock the ball out. Like they can make receivers kind of give up by the third quarter.
I mean, they humbled Zay Flowers there in that was that third quarter.
Yeah,
he gets the flag for and then punch out at the goal line. Yeah,
and I mean,
that's a welcome to the league rook moment right there.
I forget what the stat is at this point. I had it written down, but the flu. It's somewhere. The Chiefs haven't given up. I think it's more than 25 points in like 21 games or something like it, or 21, something like that. Like they don't give up points and they didn't even going back to last year. Like it's a weird thing, but their defense is actually legitimately really good.
It helps. They have turned into more of a Big Ten offense as well, where it's, you know, ball possession. And like you said, getting those, just get first downs. you only, like I said, if they're only, you know, giving up 21, 24 points, to score 27, you're going to win.
30 of 39 for 241 yards for Mahomes. Didn't turn the ball over, just fucking efficient. Yeah, and you know what? Like, if your defense is only going to give up 10 to Baltimore, you don't need to do that much. And so I think you get the sense that Andy Reid sort of has realized that as the year's gone on. And he's just like, you know what? Our receivers are incapable of making huge plays. And so let's dial it back.
Hey, let's take what's there. Valdez-Scantling caught that ball to end the game, at least. Barely caught it.
I never doubted him. He's the best athlete on the field, man. I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. But now that Kelsey is catching everything thrown in his direction again, it's like, that's all you need. You know? Like, get a little running game from Pacheco and get it to Kelsey, like, think, and that should be enough.
I think Kelsey was 10 for 10 on targets in the first half.
Yeah. Yes, he was. He ended up with like 11 catches on the game, but still, it's absurd. It's absurd.
So here's the stat. So the Chiefs have held opponents under 20 points.
20
in 13 of their 20 games this year. Under 20. And they have not given up 25 points or more in 19 straight games, which is a record broken from the Legion of Boom Seahawks of yesteryear. So, not numbers can lie. Are the Chiefs the best defense in the last 20 or 15 years? No, they're not. But when you adjust time and pace, and now they're figuring stuff out where they, you know, beginning of the year, they were still doing the crazy shit where they thought they could score in 2 minutes. And now that they're not, they just keep on pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing. And Noah Menahue is a big deal because he's pretty good, you know, pocket crusher from time to time.
He was a 49er last year.
Yeah, I really like him. Like, he's not a star. No. He's not a star, but he's really good.
He was one of those guys that the Niners kept getting on the defensive line who were just, like, really good pieces. And he'll end up, like, with 7 or 8 sacks on the air. But he's just always getting pressure, always active, and you're forcing quarterbacks to do shit they don't want to do. So, I know, man. Menahue's great. It's a bummer he's not going to be in there. Like, I agree. Did you, speaking of the handsy thing, did you hear what Bosa said? Because I saw that today and sort of laughed. Like,
yes.
He was asked about the Chiefs offensive line and says they hold a lot. And I thought
every offensive line holds a lot.
I thought that was just a funny comment to make, and it's probably going to get blown up really big. And the Chiefs offensive line is going to take it really seriously, and they're going to use it as big time motivation, which I totally understand. But he's not wrong. Fairness,
Taylor holds an awful lot.
He sure does. He gets called for it a lot too, right?
He does. Yeah, and there's about one time a game he gets called for a hold, where if he doesn't hold the guy, Mahomes takes a big shot. You take the penalty every time.
He's like the a Johnny Cornelius guy for Oregon or whatever his name is. Like, he is good for one or two holds every single game. Really every good offensive game. Lineman, but one or two holds every single game.
Like King said, there are times where a hold warrants to not get your quarterback killed. Yeah, it's always the guys that are just like the unnecessary hold, like the balls run the other way and shit like that.
God,
those are the guys that kill you.
They don't let go. Yeah.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Even though, like, I think it was on a screen. It was a touchdown to Rice.
Yeah.
Technically, like, if you actually, I was like looking at Twitter right away, and all these ex NFL linemen were like, oh, "That's not a hold." And B, really, you're only supposed to call a hold if it has like any impact on a play. And on a screen pass to the other side, why would you call that? And again, he has a reputation now. He's never getting away with that. Never. And the way he lines up so fucking far behind, I don't see why guys still try and go around him. Just cut into his face. You're eventually just going to catch him and go. I don't know. He's a frustrating player.
Who are you talking about?
Juwan Taylor.
Taylor, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. WCP says Taylor has the most penalties in the NFL and most holding flags, too. So,
yeah.
Right, get used to it, Bosa. You get held a lot anyway, so get used to it.
Can I say the one thing about Taylor, though?
If he does it every time, then the officials are just going to get used to it, and they'll stop throwing flags. So, you know.
Remember the first 2 weeks when he got called for being lined up too deep or whatever, like 15 times? And he hasn't changed his stance at all, and they no longer call it. And that was his stance in Jacksonville. They never called it. That's one of those league memo things that happens every year where in basketball they're like, we're going to call palming this year. And for opening week they call it, and then it goes away.
Yeah, they change their mind midseason. Yeah. By the way, watch Trent Williams every single play. Like, Trent Williams lines up behind tight ends. You know, like behind H-backs. So, you know, watch him next weekend and you'll see a lot of the exact same thing. I love it because, you know, remember a couple years ago when there was like the defensive linemen were talking about how he lines up and how he tells if it's a run or a pass every single time he lines up. He hasn't changed that, by the way. Like he still does that every play. So if you look at Trent Williams, you will see if it's a run or a pass every single play. And somehow that's well known throughout the league, and the 49ers offense is still really, really good. So I guess it helps having Christian McCaffrey. But all right, who are you afraid of next weekend with San Francisco?
No one.
No one?
No. Well, no. I mean, they're gonna. McCaffrey's going to bust a couple of runs.
McCaffrey?
But,
yeah, okay. I'm just like, who do you fear most on this offense? Like
the hard thing is because, like I said, the Dolphins weren't built for that shit, but Waddle and Hill, better wide receiver core than the Niners have, you know, right? Allen and Jackson, definitely better quarterback than Purdy. Tua and Purdy, probably pretty close, but again, Tua wasn't built for that game. So the Niners are going to score, but I'm not sitting there going, oh shit, Ayuk is going to go off for 150. They need to do something crazy. You know what I mean?
But it's going to take one of those guys to have one of those games. Like,
and it's football. It could 100% happen.
Yeah. It's going to take Debo or Kittle having like 150 yards. One of those, Ayuk's, you know, I think the cat's out of the bag on Ayuk. I think people know that, you know, Purdy really likes looking to him a lot, and he runs really good routes, and he's really hard to cover. But I think defenses are sort of like shading over to him now, to where they're not leaving things open for him. So it's gonna take somebody else. Like McCaffrey's gonna get his, like he just is. Like as good as Kansas City's defense is, I don't see them really like stopping and shutting down McCaffrey because, you know, frankly, nobody has. But it's going to take somebody like Kittle or Debo going off for San Francisco to win. Like I've watched your defense, man. Like it is really, really good. And
yeah, it's really good.
And,
yeah.
And you know, if they get pressure, forget it, man.
As the person of us three that, you know, doesn't have a dog in this fight, I see this as, I think both teams are going to be able to run the football.
Yeah.
I don't think either teams are going to be able to really gash with big yards. I think it's just going to be you're just going to run the ball and then nickel and dime like those like 15 yard drag routes by Ayuk and those little like 10 yard hooks and curls by Kittle or by Kelsey. So when I think of that, I lean to having who has the better quarterback in that situation and a kind of grind out, don't turn the ball over sense, and gotta lean to Kansas City in that aspect.
Let's save the preview stuff for next week. But
I just think that's you. I think both teams are going to be worried about guys, but I think it's just this game's just going to be a knockdown drag out kind of game. It's not going to be a high scoring, you know, first to 30 wins kind of shit.
And I know this is kind of leads into our list. Whenever we get there, why is this a Super Bowl apparently no one wants to watch?
I don't get it.
Taylor Swift.
This narrative is crazy to me.
I don't.
Yeah, I don't get it.
The Niners are a legacy brand, right?
Yeah.
The Chiefs are a borderline one just because the AFL stuff. Not even, I'm not t- talking about success. They were fucking losers for 15 years before Mahomes got there. But the Lamar Hunt stuff, whatever. And then the Pat Mahomes era. People really wanted to watch Detroit and Baltimore?
Right? You seriously? Like, Baltimore and Detroit was exciting, like, to you?
Even when Detroit was up, you know, 24-7, whatever it was, I was sitting on the couch and I was like,
please win. Please win.
Well, no, I was like, man, America really wants Kansas City to like win a Super Bowl by a lot. Like, I different matchups, different days, blah, blah, blah. And I know, yes, Detroit beat Kansas City on week one. Thank you, Kadarius Toney.
Yeah.
But I thought if Detroit played Kansas City, I thought Kansas City could win by 13 by just kind of squatting on the ball. I don't think they can do that against San Francisco because San Francisco has a much better roster and a better coach who's a better schemer. And God bless you, Dan Campbell. Yeah. But maybe that's what the streets wanted.
I brought it up last week where I didn't understand all the Ravens hype, which I thought was just kind of an anti Kansas City hype more, you know, as we've seen in this culture right now with the anti Taylor Swift, Kelsey shit. On the other end, yeah, I don't get the people don't want to see the Niners again. No one wants to see a rematch of a great Super Bowl from a couple years ago. I don't get it. I don't understand.
I don't understand.
The best offense against the best defense. You really don't want to see that? Like, yeah. You don't want to watch Christian McCaffrey in the Super Bowl? You want to watch Jahmyr Gibbs? Like, what are we talking about here? You want to watch Larry Jackson instead of Patrick Mahomes?
Amon Ross St. Brown really does it for you.
People wanted the Lions because of how down they've been for so long.
Of course, it's a better story.
It's a better story. I still do not get the Ravens. Nothing about the Ravens makes sense to me. Why anyone outside of Baltimore in that greater, you know, that whole Maryland area gives a shit about the Ravens?
Yeah. Another thing about Lamar Jackson. People still bring up the like Novak Djokovic being anti-vax or Aaron Rodgers being anti-vax. Lamar Jackson really kind of skated on that whole one. And I know it's 2024. We really shouldn't be, but people still do.
Was Lamar playing then, or was this one his injury sit out?
No, he was playing. I mean, he gets injured all the time, but
yeah, you know. I don't know if it was.
Yeah, and granted, he wasn't as loud about it as an Aaron Rodgers thing, but even in real time, there weren't on you know, social media, which is, you know, Twitter, which is like the ugliest, darkest, grossest place on earth. Wasn't catching a lot of arrows on that one.
I got something. WCP, I'm going to call you out in the chat here. I wanted the Lions because I geek out watching Penei Sewell dominate. Okay. You don't like Diamador Lenore? You don't like Eric Armstead? Terrence Mitchell's on the 49ers. Did you know that?
Terrence Mitchell. Yeah,
he hasn't played all year. He's like practice. No, but yeah. Lenore and Armstead are starters, like very productive defensive players for Sam. You don't like watching them?
Sewell is fun to watch, though. Sewell is fun to watch.
I'm a big fan of Penei Sewell. I mean, he's biting Trent Williams style, but, you know, it is what it is. Whatever. You know, they bring him in motion and stuff. Oh, cool. Yeah. I feel like I've seen that somewhere before. I don't know. It's weird.
I did. Did you see on Twitter after Djokovic lost to Sinner there in the quarterfinals, I think it was, how I think it was like a day or two later came in and said, oh, I was sick as a dog. I had the flu.
Yeah.
And everyone's just like, you know, there was a shot you could have taken that if you really wanted to win, you wouldn't have gotten flu so bad and you could have maybe won. Yeah, like I said, I didn't know Lamar was an anti-vaxxer till you brought it up.
He wasn't loud about it. Like, he, there, I, in fairness, I opened up the box so I can probably, there's a difference between him being like, I don't know if I feel comfortable putting this in my body, and Aaron Rodgers being like, it turns into a communist gay microwave. You know what I mean? So there is a difference. Yeah,
Lamar wasn't showing his toe at press.
Right. Conferences. I mean, yeah. So he wasn't obnoxious about it.
Yeah. So, Booble says WCP likes to watch people dominate, not just be productive.
Valid.
Lenore is fun to watch.
Lenore is fun to watch.
I can't say I find Armstead terribly enjoyable, but
he's very boring. Very boring.
But he's not bad. But he's good.
He's very good at his job, and he recovered a fumble last week. So
yeah, he's good.
It is what it is. Yeah.
But Lenore's fun.
Did Penei Sewell recover a fumble last week? I don't think he did.
And Lenore loves to chirp, which makes him entertaining. That dude is always the one in the mix, and then Trent Williams has to come in usually and clean up shit.
Who's the guy for the Lions who was talking shit? Was it like Gardner Johnson or something like that?
CJGJ.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. So I don't know if you guys caught Lenore, but he went on Instagram Live in the locker room after the game and was just actively talking shit about him. And sort of like, he's like, you ain't even the best number two. I'm the best number two. I'm the same. Like that kind of shit. It's great. It's fun. Yeah.
Gardner Johnson's pretty obnoxious. He played for the Eagles last year and was still doing the, oh, if they didn't water the grass in Glendale, we would have won routine in August. And it's like, dude, the game was like 8 months ago. Please stop.
Stop talking, my guy. Stop talking. Yeah. And then waving at the crowd when they were up by 17, and then subsequently getting fucking dominated by CMC. That play to McCaffrey, where he stiff-armed him, was fucking brutal for a defender, man. Like, that is a bad look as a defender. I know it's Christian McCaffrey, but Jesus, you got wrecked, my guy. Yeesh. Talk shit, get hit, right? I guess so.
Okay.
I guess so. All right. Anything else to talk about with the championship games?
We got all of next week.
But like I said, Keyshawn says Patrick Mahomes reminds him of Brad Johnson and Trent Dilfer.
I think that
he goes, you know, I won a ring with Brad Johnson, so I would know.
Okay, Keyshawn.
Wait. Let me. Is he trying to say this now that? Since he doesn't have any weapons, he just had, like you said, he had like 30 completions for like two in change. Like,
I guess. But it's just stellar. What a stupid. It's just. Or Skip Bayless. Come on, this Mahomes guy. I'm starting to.
All right. I think I'm almost there. Just about.
And also, as a random aside point, that show stinks now.
Yeah,
but it is so bad.
I'm surprised you watch it. Yeah.
I was just doing the YouTube because all those shows now are pretty much made just for YouTube clips. Yeah. And so and now, you know, it's 7 minutes of just garbage. But what a bad show.
I'm curious because when we were kids, you have clear flu behavior, you know, like you are eating soup, you're playing video games, you're watching NFL films. Like, you know what I mean? What do you do as a grown up when you have the flu all week?
So bored.
I'm saying, do you still play video games?
This is the first time I've been sick in like, I've never been sick for multiple days like this in I don't know how long. Like even when I actually got COVID in December of 22, I did the podcast when I was first coming down with it. Lost my voice.
Yeah.
The next day I was tired. By Saturday, I was fine. Yeah, I was so bored. I was just sitting there watching. I watched a full season of some Pepper show on Netflix or something where there's a guy named Johnny Scoville. Boy, real original Johnny Scoville.
Is that the moneymaker of the Pepper world?
He's the number one Pepperhead. If he gives your Pepper, because there's all these people trying to make a Pepper hotter than the Carolina Reaper, which they all say is not the hottest pepper in the world, but they don't want to piss off the guy who created the Carolina Reaper because he's very rich and powerful in the industry now. It's just a wild show. There's a lot of guys puking. And
this is on Netflix.
I think it's on Netflix. Maybe Hulu. I can't remember. Yeah. It's hot something. It's terrible.
I'm watching this now.
But so
the niche thing, power hierarchy, just
it was like 10 episodes. I couldn't fucking believe it. So my household was progressively sick on Saturday, and I guess I never really get sick. Felt fine on Saturday, felt fine on Sunday. I already had Monday off, you know, about noon on Monday, I'm like, ah, yeah, I feel fine, actually. I don't feel bad. Monday night, I'm a little tired, you know, but okay. And so I have these edibles, 10 milligrams, nothing amazing, but they're supposed to like put you into like a pretty deep sleep and like give you vivid dreams, right? So like once or twice a month, I'll take them because it's kind of cool. But wow, that dream was rad. So I eat one at about 9 o'clock, go to sleep at like 10:45. By about midnight, I wake up and I'm like, oh fuck, I'm sick. Like I can tell I'm sick, right? And then between getting a fever and eating
edible dream.
Yes. Oh, and for the whole entire fucking night, I had this song stuck in my head. It's a country song by like Zach Bryan and Casey Musgraves. I heard it in the summer like once, and I couldn't even tell you. I cannot tell you the lyrics. I don't know them. But in my fucking mind, it was the same fucking lyric for like 6 straight hours, and I was an admin at the University of Arizona doing some NIL shit. And I could not, whether I was asleep or awake, it was this reoccurring fever weed dream. And it fucking sucked, man.
That's not fun. No, flu dreams are the worst because your brain fixates on one thing over and over again, and it can't fucking let it go.
It's
the worst.
I got up at one point
and it keeps you
walked to the kitchen, crushed some water, stood there for like 10 minutes and be like, I think I've got that flushed out of my brain. And I did not. It was terrible.
No, like that's when I get up and I like watch something for 15 minutes. Like I put on a YouTube video and it's like, get literally anything else in your head right now, man.
Yeah.
It fucking sucks.
What's weirder, the constant country music playing or that your dream was, I'm going to be an NIL guy for Arizona.
Arizona football. Yeah. Welcome to the Big 12.
How did you navigate that with no money is the question.
Yeah, it's a great question.
Yeah, you just picked the most difficult job in America.
Yeah. it was a whole thing. It wasn't very fun.
Building skyscrapers, like, you know. No, man. NIL in Arizona with no money.
A funny thing is like at work since I started working there, they come around with a cart. And then give you a flu shot or, you know, in more present times, some sort of a COVID shot or booster or whatever. But they just come around. There's a little tray. They just give you the flu shot. For whatever reason, I was never around when they came by this year. I just completely forgot it. Boy, I wish I had had it because. Oh,
the flu sucks.
Yeah, this is the first day I've eaten since Monday afternoon.
Hot take.
Hot take
on the podcast. The flu sucks.
Flu sucks. Not fun.
Now this is like a show I wanted to watch now is King of the NIL. I want to know how you're going into a kid's house and promising NIL money with nothing. I want to know what you're promising.
I never got into a kid's bedroom. I was just in the admin building. Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Guys, summer podcast idea when we got nothing to talk about. Let's write a script and let's act that shit out. You guys gotta keep us honest in the chat, man. Remind us of that because there's no way I'm gonna fucking remember. So somebody put it on a post-it note and remind us.
What's that fake it's like a Hooters place, but they all wear like they're like Swiss like barmaid kind of outfits. Like
Lederhosen?
Kind of it, but yeah. It's like, is there like High Mountain or something like that? I don't know. I think that started in Arizona. I was like, that's like $50 a week to go to that place. That's your NIL deal. I think they're dealing with now.
Pretty much.
Gift cards. You get gift cards.
Gift cards. I don't know what I'm saying to offer.
Yeah. Okay. I'm glad this topic started because I want to have an honest discussion about Dylan Gabriel because they're, Duck Duck Chef in our Discord, join the Discord, shared an Instagram post that that Dylan Gabriel posted of him like enjoying himself around town or whatever, hanging with his boys. And he's like, hey, it seems like he's enjoying himself. And part of that was pictures of him and he's wearing cargo pants. He's wearing cargo pants, guys. Like 2024.
They're back.
Are they?
They're back, baby.
Is that the reality we're in right now in 2024?
Yeah, I don't let middle-aged fathers tell you that cargo shorts are back. They're not. But okay. Cargo pants, I actually feel pretty strongly that they're back amongst the cool kids.
Fucking Hunter Biden, god damn it. Just running this country into the ground. Now we got fucking cargo pants again. Not my president.
He's going to hide his hog in some extra pocket. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Not my president.
have they come out with a more form-fitting cargo pant yet? Because usually, the old cargo pants, they were always just huge.
Huge.
Big, bulky. You never had that nice, sleek cargo pant.
No, big pants are back in general.
Big pants are back, too.
Oh, stovepipe jeans. Oh. Yeah.
You know what, guys?
Oh, yeah.
You know what, guys? I've been losing a lot of weight lately, and I'm buying smaller pants. And this is the first time in my life where I have been wearing tight-ish pants, and, like, they fit me right. This is the worst possible timing for big pants to come back. Like,
oh, yeah.
I can't accept that as an answer. You know? I can't.
Well, if big pants are coming back, does that mean sagging, deep sagging is coming back as well?
We're gonna get braided belts again, you guys. Yeah. Like, how far do we take this? That's my question.
Once the puka shells come back, then I'll be fully on board. Yeah, WCP, until that happens, though.
WCP asking if JNCOs are back yet.
More or less, man. Yeah,
you might as well. Yeah.
Booble says, if you're not a coward, cargo pants never left. Fair enough.
Can't come back if you never went anywhere. I mean, come on.
I did wear
a specific pair of cargo pants for way too long because they were lined with fleece. So in the wintertime, I'd wear them. They were so comfortable.
I like that.
I think I wore about two winters after they were out of style, but they were too comfortable. Not fleece, flannel. They were flannel lined, I mean. But
we're old, guys. There's like a there's a line where you draw where you just say fuck it sometimes, too. So
I think cargo pants went away when they started selling beer in Austin, because that was a thing. If you had cargo pants, you could bring in as many beers as you could fit in those pants, and they never checked those pockets.
Ski, Booble says you were thinking of the Founders Club. Apparently, that's what you were thinking.
Sure.
Yeah. All right. Anything else we want to talk about? We can get to our list. I mean, you know, there were coaching hires. Oregon basketball is playing USC as we're recording this. They're leading by 10 right now in the second half. So,
Shitsky mentioned Dylan Gabriel, and he's supplanting Bo Nix.
Sure.
Today is the first day I really got into Senior Bowl coverage, because, like I said, it's day four at home. I'm fucking bored. Man, again, why are people so weird about Bo Nix? It's like NFL draft guy will post a video of 10 throws and be like, look at this. Bo Nix had the best day three. And it's just all you want to check down Merchant. Bad throw. Back to Washington. He lost to Georgia. He lost to Alabama. What in the fuck does that have to do with that video? What the fuck?
Or anything in general. Josh Allen played at Wyoming and got his shit kicked in against any decent team.
I'm just reading these people who have no allegiance to Bo Nix, no allegiance to Oregon, probably don't give a fuck about college football. And they'll just be like, nice throw by Bo Nix. Here's the clip. It's
broken zombie brain shit. You know, it's the same thing as like Taylor Swift stuff.
Well,
right,
see,
you know,
I think with
shit.
Nix, though, it's not just all the other Pac-12 schools that don't like Nix. You have all those SEC schools that he was in for those years too. He's getting hit from both ends of conferences right now. That's why it seems like maybe excessive hate for him.
I'm sure I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago when it happened, but that clip of Bo Nix and his wife at the Auburn basketball game, and they put him on the Jumbotron and he gets a standing ovation. No, Auburn fans, you don't get to do that. You literally... His dad is still crying talking about how awful you were to them.
You ran them out of town, Auburn.
Out of town. Yeah.
Come on, dude.
Oh, out of town. It's like,
Yeah, WCP. Yesterday it was Bo Nix draft stock plummeting. Today, Bo Nix is a top 15 pick. And by the way, like a couple months ago, Bo Nix was a top 15 pick too. So he fell out of it and is now back into it. It's fucking annoying. It's.
I mean, I personally thinking, I said in the Discord that I think Nix has a better chance in the NFL than Penix, because that's what a lot of the argument is over. It just simple injuries for Penix. He's older. I mean, that's a lot of people don't seem to get that. And anytime he really faced pressure, he kind of crumbled a little bit under it.
Yep. And yeah. And he's not and athletic.
Nix is bigger. Nix is bigger too.
He's not athletic either. Like Penix is a statue, and it's hard to be a quarterback in the NFL anymore and be a statue, you know? Like,
I mean, you could dice up college teams like that. Yeah. NFL is a different beast.
Get your ass handed to you, man.
You are going to get hit. It's nothing you can do about it.
Have you guys seen what the engagement farmers have done to Dan Lanning today?
Oh, I have not.
So he had a quote in Sports Illustrated where he said, they asked him about, oh, how's it going to be going to the Big Ten and all that travel? And his quote was, I think at the end of the day, the Big Ten's going to have to prepare for us and what we do differently than the rest of than some of that league or something like that.
Perfect. Makes perfect sense.
Very logical.
And every apparently Oregon would have, you know, here are the comments.
All right.
Oh, another Scott Frost. He lost to Washington, Ohio State by 10. They aren't ready for the Wildcats of Northwestern. He didn't even say anything that bad. And also, I want to be like, look at any preseason top 25. Hint, Oregon's in the top four in all of them. Like, what is going on? Man, I hate Twitter, man.
And again, this is like the most stacked Oregon roster they've ever had going into next year too. So fucking good luck with those takes, man. Good luck. We sort of talked about it a couple weeks ago. This is probably the most confident I've been going into a season for Oregon than I've ever been. And I'm a sports pessimist by nature. Lazy.
And honestly, Lanning's quote is pretty much ever since Oregon got the invitation and joining the Big Ten, we have been saying this the entire time. 75% of the Big Ten teams are going to get murdered because of purely their play style. No one has high powered offenses in the Big Ten outside of Ohio State and Michigan ish and kind of Penn State. That's kind of it.
I mean, Penn State finished third in the Big Ten this year.
Yeah.
Penn State. James Franklin is their coach.
Really curious to see how USC does. Because, you know, again, like you're saying, Ski, like there aren't a lot of offensive attacks in the Big Ten like USC has. And these teams, you know, USC doesn't play defense, but they might not really need to play defense in the Big Ten. If they're scoring like 50 points a game, who's going to keep up with them? Like Oregon, not Washington next year, that's for fucking sure. But like Oregon, maybe Michigan? Like if Michigan can play good D against them, maybe? Maybe Ohio State?
Ohio State's going to... They're loaded.
They're better.
Yeah.
Honestly, I mean, the way too early look ahead to the next season, Oregon and Ohio State have such a big jump between that next group of teams, on paper.
Please. And in fairness to USC, they did hire D'Anthony Lynn, who did a really good job at UCLA on defense. So
they lost Grinch. That was the
they lost thing Grinch. They again, named at Wisconsin today as co-defensive coordinator. I don't.
Have fun.
I don't get it.
Have fun. All right. And do you want to talk about the NFL coaching hires at all? Do you care?
No, I don't care.
Okay. Let's do our list then.
A quick thing, just to take a seat, Dame. Welcome back to Portland.
Thank you. Okay.
I'm not sure if you saw it last night.
I did forget about
it. I mean,
that.
It means nothing, but they beat them. They lost. Simons, welcome back, Doc. You're terrible.
Simons is better than Dame. I think we can all agree on that. Blazers better than the Bucks, obviously. And, you know, they don't miss Dame at all. You know, I think that was all proven last night. So,
so you guys know who Bill Orem is, right?
Rings a bell.
He's the Oregonian sports columnist now.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah. Used to cover the Lakers for the LA Times, and now he's, you know. So I read his article today about Dame's return, and he was like, I don't know what the answer is for the Blazers to like be good again or something. And I wanted to be like, you know, I don't really miss reading Canzano, but the answer is Jody Allen. Just say it, Bill Orem. Just put pressure on her to sell the team. It's so blatantly obvious. But he's just he dances around. I can't tell you why this franchise is going nowhere. I can.
There's two. Yeah, and there are two things, and they both kind of overlap each other. It's get rid of Jody Allen, and then in that process, new people come in and get rid of Chauncey Billups. It's simple as that, really. And then it's just get lucky in the draft, and hopefully they pan out. That's how it happens.
Easy peasy. All right,
not hard.
We just solved the Blazers. All right, somebody pay us.
Done.
Cool. All right, list this week is what? It came from our Discord. It goes back to sort of the narrative that we were talking about earlier, where people are saying this is the worst Super Bowl ever, and they don't want to watch it. And so it comes from WCP541 in the Discord. Since there's a narrative around KC San Francisco Superb Owl that it's the matchup nobody wanted, top three things to watch instead of the Superb Owl. I will start. I can start. How about Saltburn? Fuck Saltburn. So again, this is presuming that this is indeed the worst Super Bowl ever and nobody wants to watch it. I don't agree with that because my team's in it. Also, it's just a really good matchup, like we said earlier. So FYI, listener. Yep. I don't actually want to watch Saltburn again.
All right. I'll go. And little thing. All the things I'm going to list will be currently airing right when the Super Bowl starts. So you can actually watch these things.
Oh, perfect.
My number three is the Fox Report with John Scott, because I mean, we're clearly a big Fox News podcast here. So you go get your real news and you leave that wokeness to everyone else.
Yeah. Yeah. The woke San Francisco 49ers. Really?
Yeah. My God. That woke Taylor Swift. I mean, what a psyop that is. Right.
We got a first time chatter while you're talking. Ben002315 asking if he can swear in the chat. Yeah.
Yes.
And if I don't like it, then I'll delete it. But go for it. Knock yourself out. Yeah. And Booble says, fuck yeah. Okay, what's your three, King?
My number three is all 17 hours of Marty Scorsese's The Irishman.
All 37 hours of The Irishman. I'll one up you. Scorsese, like, what's it called? When you see two movies in double feature.
Double feature?
Yeah, Scorsese double feature with the flower movie. So,
oh,
I hope you got 7 hours in you, buddy. Like, all right, so threes from the chat. Booble says the NHL All-Star Game. WCP.
Yeah.
WCP. Says Avatar. Ooh, we got it. This is great. We got some like spammers in the chat right now. Steezy, love the name, man. Fuck the woke. I'm a fucking Swiftie, but I like Trump for real.
I told you, I knew what our listeners wanted to hear, and I brought it.
And you brought it. You brought them in, man. You're bringing it in.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. My number two. Kanye West TED Talk on YouTube.
Yeah. Is there actually a Kanye West TED Talk on YouTube?
No. I think he'd probably just like stand there for 45 minutes. I'm just trying to imagine what that would actually look like. And I tell you what, it'd be better than the Super Bowl, with these woke ass 49ers and Chiefs. Am I right?
All right. My number two, you know, I'm going to stick on topic here with our right wing wingers. Since, you know, we're just going to get overrun at the southern border, we're going to have to learn to speak Spanish here soon. So tune in on Unimas Network and watch Badass 3, Badasses on the Bayou in Spanish.
Sounds fantastic.
Does indeed.
I might actually do that. All right, King.
My number two. Watch. Oh my God, flu brain is hitting me.
Flu brain.
Marathon. A marathon of swamp people on the History Channel.
There you go.
Shoot them.
Shoot them. Shoot them.
Shoot them.
Shoot them.
Fucking love swamp people.
Let's see. Number two is, man, I got to like scroll up because we got so many people in the chat right now. Booble says his number two is Snyder Cut of the Justice League. WCP brings back the Irishman. Ben 002315 says Gumby. Where can you find Gumby? Where are you watching Gumby?
What's the horse's name in Gumby?
Yeah, I was trying to think of that too. I used to have those toys, man. Like I had a
Pokey.
It was Pokey.
Pokey, I think.
Pretty sure it was.
That sounds right. Like I used to, I had like, I got toys and Happy Meals when I was a kid, and I fucking never threw those away. I played with them forever until I did throw them away. Let's see here. Number one. So, oh, by the way, topic, people just joining us. These are our top three things to watch other than the Super Bowl, because it's being called the most boring Super Bowl, most unwatchable Super Bowl ever. And if you had joined us earlier, you would have heard our actual take on that. My number one, Cats. The butthole version. Speaking of Taylor Swift, she's in that, right? I think she is. She's in Cats, right? Like the movie Cats with the really weird, like, yeah.
I'm aware of the movie that came out. I am unaware of that.
Like we've seen Cats. What are you doing?
I know Booble's a big Cats guy.
I checked out on musical.
I really want to watch the Wildcats, let alone the Cats movie.
All right, what's your two, man?
Or one? One, you mean?
What's your one? Yeah.
All right, so my number one, if you want to tune in the start of the Super Bowl to the Juicy Channel, you can watch Working as a Team 1. Here's a quick synopsis of Working as a Team 1. It's a, from the Top Clips, the award-winning studios brings you Double the Lips, Nips, and Grinding Hips. Two hot babes team up and let hard guys decide which pink to hammer. Tune in. Working as a Team 1.
What just happened, man? Like, the last 5 minutes, what just happened?
I told you, I went through all the channels, man. That is currently on.
What just
happened? At the time of the Super Bowl.
You just hit recent, and you saw what was coming on.
I had to catch up because number two is coming out, so yeah, you had to watch first, right?
Yeah, exactly. All right, King, what's your one?
My number one on Fox Soul, a rerun of Gutfeld. He's a comedian, you know.
I was not aware of that.
I recently found out Fox Soul was a channel.
All right.
Very bad. It's very It's very pandering.
Gutfeld is this person?
Yeah, Greg Gutfeld. He's the only white person on the channel.
The great Gutfeld. All right. Okay.
What else do they air on this Fox Soul channel?
I'm not. I can't. It's a very pandering channel. It's all I'm going to say is it's. A lot of Black History Month stuff. Now there's anything wrong with that. It's just it's a funny programming thing buried on channel like 4,100 on your Comcast dial. It's just a funny stuff to see with Fox News header on it. That's all I'm saying.
I hear you. Let's
Fox
see.
Soul. I want to see what's currently airing on this. Fox Soul.
Number one from Booble, the Weather Channel, WCP, Killers of the Flower Moon. So, yeah, Killers of the Flower Moon coming back a couple of times. So, all right, anything else before we bounce out of here?
If I can get to Fox Soul in time.
Fox Soul has a channel called TGIF. It's all about spilling that tea.
Oh man.
Oh my God. It's going to get the flu again. Just talking about it.
How have I not known about these channels here?
Because you haven't been sick.
Yeah, man, this is the shit that comes out when you're home with the flu for a week, man.
I watched a whole show a couple days ago on there where they had to
watch it too.
Yeah, I was like, what is this? Well, they did this whole thing where they're running down famous black celebrities, and who is this? And they were all like, I was like, that is Tia and Tamara. Yeah. How do you not know that?
Like, what? Sister was on there? Come on.
Yes, it's like, you know, younger children, but it was still blatantly obvious.
We're not that old, man. Wait a minute. Legends. Okay, let's stop doing this now. Hey, new people. Yeah. Hey, new people in the chat. Follow the page. We're like close to being able to get like money and stuff. So follow the page. Do us a favor. That'd be awesome.
Don't forget to watch Gutfeld with an exclamation point.
Yeah.
Exactly. Gutfeld. Oh, exactly. He's a comedian, you know.
Movie podcast this Sunday, don't forget, is the new Indiana Jones movie, Dial of Destiny. It's on Disney Plus, so watch it, and you can listen to us talk about it on Sunday. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. By the way, new people, we do this every Thursday around 7:30 is when we start. So maybe join us next week. Bye, guys.